ladies and gentlemen. This is part two of our continuing series of Michael Collins Piper is Not Here. Your host tonight, this is a writer with Pre-Press, something that I have a certain amount of pride in my voice. American Press is a good newspaper, and needless to say, I think that you should support it. As I promised last night, we're going to have a very special guest with us, and I just got word from a doctor that he is on the line. I'd like to give a nice introduction to him. Generally, when people ask me how I came about knowing the kinds of things that I know and coming to the kinds of political opinions that I've come to, I generally credit people. The first, of course, as you've heard me mention before, is Michael Collins, his writings in both The Spotlight and later American Free Press, and then, of course, his book Final Judgment, that he gave me, I guess, my foundation for my political understanding of what is going on with regard to them in Israel and all the rest of that. But then the other person that I credit with having opened my eyes an entirely different world involving the same topic is Pike. I picked up his video. This was 14 years. Actually, Jim Condit loaned it to me. I've had it ever since for the last 14 years. And I think in most states, the law would probably be resting on my side, saying that it probably is mine now. So, Jim, I'm sorry I didn't get your video back to you. I guess I owe you a video. But anyway, Pike's video entitled The Other Israel really was an eye-opening experience for me. I had never come in contact with this information before regarding what is modern-day Judaism, the Talmud, what the rabbis teach, and all fits in with the political situation that we're dealing with in our world today, and not just political situation, ladies and gentlemen, but cultural situation as well. And the book that Ted wrote is I consider to be equally important. It's a book that I quote often, particularly the sections of this book that quote the Talmud or the Kabbalah or the Zohar, which are very important books as far as modern-day Judaism is concerned. That book is entitled Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. Now, Ted has other videos and other, I believe, other books that he has come out with, Why the Mideast Feeds. And lately, as I would hope the listeners of the program are aware, Ted has been very active on the topic of the hate crimes laws. Really, Ted is the only one that I know of who has been sounding the alarm bell with regards to the laws, which, as I come to understand, it has passed the House and the Senate, and it is merely awaiting the signature of our president for this thing to become law. So we're going to spend an hour here tonight talking. He has a wealth of information, in my opinion, the epitome of what a Christian is supposed to be, that he is willing to go into areas that are intellectually dangerous, to say the least. You know, we live in a day and age where it's becoming more and more acceptable to cast dispersions against the we're not supposed to touch Judaism. So anyway, after the break, we'll be back from Pike, so stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Irreplaceable Michael Collins Piper, who, if everything is accurate, he should be back in D.C. right now after spending a nice 2 weeks sun tanning in nice, warm Southern California. Anyway, as I promised, tonight we have with us a very special guest, the Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. As I said, Ted is the only one out there who is spearheading the effort to warn Americans about the danger that this federal hate law crime agenda poses to all of us in terms of freedom of speech and whatnot. And so I've been speaking with Ted about this for the last couple of days, and I figured that since Mike had recruited me to do his program, that it would be a good idea to have Ted come on and to explain to people what is exactly at stake here with regards to these hate crime laws. Ted, are you there?
I am, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
It's an honor, believe me. Real quick, Ted, tell us in a nutshell where the hate crime legislation stands as of this moment. And, you know, in a nutshell as well, explain to us why this legislation is so dangerous to us and to our freedom of speech as Americans.
Yes. Well, the federal so-called anti-hate bill was passed by the House of Representatives in May, and then unfortunately it was passed also by the United States Senate on September 27th. And I've been alerting the country to the fact that there was a tremendous collapse of a warning and support of the hate bill, of opposition to the hate bill, that is, in the final days and weeks even before the hate bill finally won by only one vote in the Senate of the United States. And right now, where it stands is that it's scheduled to go to conference between the House and the Senate to work out differences between the House version and the Senate version. It's also been appended as a rider onto the big military authorization bill, which is the annual funding of our troops in not only the Middle East, but all around the world. And the president actually has twice reassured us that he will veto the hate bill. But what's happening now is that, you see, since this hate bill is added on as a rider to the arms bill with no line item veto, so the president has to take it all or nothing, the president has promised to send it back to the Senate if it was passed by the Senate. However, what we're finding is that the liberals and pro-hate bill forces predictably are delaying getting this bill ready for the president. It's going on 3 months now, and even now they're saying they might even not have it done till the first of the year. And this puts enormous pressure on the president to say to conservative and Christian Americans, yes, I did promise I would veto the hate bill and force it to be taken off the arms bill, but I've also got to win a war in Iraq. I've got to supply troops in Afghanistan and around the world. I may just have to go ahead and pass the hate bill attached to the arms bill. If that happens, then we pretty much have entered into a hate crimes bureaucracy here in the United States. There is an outside possibility that the president could not enforce this legislation for the next year, but I believe that as soon as we get a more liberal Hillary or Rudy Giuliani or whatever in the White House and in Congress only about 14 months from now, it will probably sail right through.
Same hate bill that has been brought up for a vote several times in the Congress and has been shot down every time. Is that correct?
Well, it's actually been shot down five times. It was first put into the House of Representatives in 1998. And even the Republican leadership of the House gave instructions to Republicans to vote it in, but some independently minded, clear-thinking conservatives there recognized this as exactly the same kind of legislation that's taken away freedom of speech in Canada and European countries, or at least very similar, and they blocked the hate bill, and they began a kind of a tradition of mild opposition to the hate bill. And our National Prayer Network has been on the scene since about 2000. We made a video called Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians, which now can be viewed at Google. And that was very instrumental in getting lots of protests nationally and calls coming in over the years. And in separate hate bill fights, we have seen the hate bill defeated no less than five times. And tragically, the evidence indicates that members, Republican members of the Senate and also New Right Christian conservative leaders may have kind of given up this time, feeling that if they let the hate bill slide on through, it could be a tremendous opportunity for President Bush to grandstand, if you will, to veto the hate bill and to restore his credibility as a president who values free speech and the will of the American people. Of course, he suffered greatly concerning that reputation over the last several years through Homeland Security and Patriot Act legislation and so on. And all I know is that I have irrefutable documentation and evidence that there was a tremendous collapse of warnings and support for the movement of opposition to the hate bill, which had become quite strong in the first 6 months or so of this year.
I see. Now, Ted, I would assume that the language of this bill has been written in terms that are vague enough to make them easily applicable to all sorts of situations. Is that correct?
Well, yes. Now, ostensibly, on the surface, this legislation empowers the federal government to intervene in states' rights in law enforcement whenever there is a violent hate crime. Or even when there are felonies in the states. But the point of argumentation for liberals is, well, we need a stiffer federal penalties, stiffer federal empowerments to come down into states' rights and law enforcement, especially when the states are not enforcing their own hate crimes laws as they should. But actually what this legislation does is it sets up a bias-oriented justice system in America in which homosexuals in particular, and Jews, etc., federally protected groups are exalted, given special federal protection whenever bias becomes a motivating factor in creating a crime against these individuals. It gives the federal government the right to come down anytime it wants to and to intervene with local attorney generals and justice departments in prosecuting bias crimes of any kind, not just violent bias crimes, but any kind of bias crime. So this legislation basically breaks down the barrier between local law enforcement and federal law enforcement. And, of course, that is the very definition of a police state, which policing powers on the federal and the local level are essentially the same. And this legislation also empowers judges from top to bottom to make their own decisions, their own legal precedents about what constitutes a hate and a hate crime and bias and discrimination and all these kinds of things. And predictably, as has happened in Canada and other countries, what happens is that these judges do more than just protect homosexuals, for example, from violent bias, physical crimes. They extend the law out to protect homosexuals from verbal violence, you know, those kinds of biblical Old Testament words that intimidate homosexuals and diminish their own self-esteem. So predictably, as this happened in Canada since 1971 when Canada adopted its hate law, what happens is this law is a slippery slope which very quickly we broadens out, and nobody knows exactly what bias or intimidation or prejudice or hate or any of these often very subjective terms mean. All they know is that it's pretty much against the law to use biblical language or politically incorrect free speech.
I see. Now, here's the big question, Ted. Obviously, you have various lobbying groups who are pushing this thing. I'm sure that Ted Kennedy didn't just come up with the idea all on his own. Who are the big groups who are pushing this, and why?
Well, the big group, the granddaddy of all hate crimes legislation, is the Anti-Defamation League of the NABARIF. And you can go to their website, which is ADL.org. They have, I think, 14 pages there explaining how they have originated model anti-hate crimes law and theory, how they've persuaded 46 states to adopt some version of their anti-hate law, how they're behind the federal hate law. And then on and on, ADL is quite candid about its role not only in America but in Europe and Canada and so on in proposing hate crimes legislation and also being very active in enforcing it. A virtual Gestapo in Canada of B'nai-B'rith Canada, the Canadian Jewish Congress are there to monitor the Internet, monitor all forms of communication, talk radio, etc., to make sure there aren't words there that might cause some members of specially protected groups to feel intimidated or diminished in any way. For example, in Canada, if anyone were to say that homosexuals have a higher rate of AIDS than the rest of the population, the ADL would or they listen to all these broadcasts, immediately charges would be filed against that person or that talk show host who made such a statement. Even though it's absolutely true, scientifically true, it would be considered hate speech, and that person would be brought up for charges under the Hate Crimes Tribunal courts in Canada. A minimum fine would probably be at least $5,000. If the offense were repeated, it could mean real jail time.
Okay, Ted, I hear that music, which means we're going to a break. Hold on for just a minute. Fascinating discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back with the Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mark Glenn filling in for Michael Collins Piper, who should be into his apartment right now as we speak. We have on the line with us tonight a very special guest, Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org, and we are involved in an extremely interesting discussion about this thing known as the hate crimes laws. Now, Ted, I know a little bit about history and particularly about what took place in the Soviet Union when the Bolsheviks took over. And correct me if I'm wrong about this, because I think I encountered this in your book. Was it not true that one of the first laws that was passed when the Bolsheviks took over in Russia was a law making it punishable by death for anybody to engage in what we would consider anti-Semitic hateful behavior?
Oh, yeah. So Lenin actually did a special radio broadcast about 1919 in which he made it a criminal offense, I should say a capital offense, to identify the primary Bolshevik leaders as Jewish. And of course, most of them were Jewish. And yet they did not want that fact to be widely known among the Russian populace. And that's a kind of a speech crime or a thought crime, hate crimes law prototype there in Bolshevik Russia.
Well, the reason that I bring this up is that I cannot help but see sort of parallels here between the ADL, this hate crimes law, and what exists in Europe and in Canada. Now, the ADL, of course, itself is this organization that seeks to fight against extremism. Of course, we know that it was founded back in the early part of the 1900s after a Jewish man was convicted of raping and killing a little girl. A man named Leo Frank was convicted of this by a jury of his peers when pressure was brought to bear on the governor of that state where this conviction took place. And Leo Frank was, in essence, lynched by the community. This was the founding of, this is what gave birth to the ADL, if I'm not mistaken about that. And yet, I guess the thing that I'm getting at is that for all of the ADL's high-sounding principles and how it's out to fight extremism and it's out to fight hate, the only thing that I really ever run into when it comes to the ADL is that they're out trying to run a protection network or protection, you know, they're in the protection business of shielding Zionism, shielding Israel from any kind of criticism. For example, you know, I get a daily email update from the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, and literally every day, there is a news item involving some type of what we would call a headline in this country involving somebody who is Muslim or was thought by his attackers to be Muslim, and yet I never hear the ADL mentioning anything about that. I hear stories about people's homes being set on fire, mosques being shot at by guns, young children being beaten up in because of their Middle Eastern heritage, and yet I don't hear anything about that from the likes of the ADL. Now, that being the case, can we reasonably expect that the ADL and other like-minded groups, that they are actually going to push this hate crime enforcement when it applies to other groups besides those that they typically tend to protect, such as Zionists and Jews and things like that? Are they gonna push enforcement of this when it comes to Catholics being attacked, or Mormons, or Muslims, or anybody like that?
Well, the record in Canada is that the ADL is very selective about who it indicts under a hate crimes charge. The ADL or its northern affiliations, the Neighborhood of Canada, the Canadian Jewish Congress, were entirely responsible for bringing in the hate law in Canada in 1971. They had actually lobbied for at least 10 years on Ottawa to pass a hate crimes bill. They were finally successful in their last hours of, I believe it was just before Christmas in 1971, when a lot of the MPs had already gone home, and they were able to slip through their Canadian Human Rights Act. And ever since 1971, we can see exactly who ADL does deem worthy of prosecution under Section 319 of their federal code. And they basically started out with Holocaust revisionists, those who might question the number or methods of the Holocaust. And, of course, there's quite a list of cases, Malcolm Ross and even actions against Zundel and a whole number of people who have a tendency to think independently about that issue. But about 6 years ago in Canada, they kind of shifted and they started going after the Christians. And I think this is a pattern we might see here in the United States, in which they first will go after the most outrageous neo-Nazis or KKK types, violent and so on, and those who are least worthy of public sympathy. But eventually it'll come around to the Christians. And around 2000, we can talk a little more about that in just a minute.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back with Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. It's very important.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. you can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Well, back, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mark Flint, filling in for Michael Collins Piper. That plane better not be late, is all I have to say. Because I've got a heck of a lot of firewood to chop for the summer, and Mike's cutting in on my time. Anyway, anybody who would like to call in and with Ted Pike can do so by calling 1-800-313-9443. Now, Ted, one of the things that I've run into when I'm speaking with the average Joe out on the street, and particularly when I bring up topics such as groups like the ADL and other what I consider to be anti-Christian, anti-free speech, anti-freedom groups, because if you look at virtually every act that these groups have been involved in, ultimately the end result has been that either our freedoms as Americans have suffered, or the Christian essence of our culture has been somehow in and replaced with something else. Now, when we think back, particularly over the course of the last couple of years, the ADL, certainly don't want to make them the topic of this discussion, but unfortunately I think that the circumstances dictate that we do. The ADL has really been out in the forefront lately. Think back to Simpsons right before the release of his movie The Passion, and Abe Foxman had his face on just about every media outlet. He could get it on there, talking the release of this movie is going to result in a new Holocaust taking place.
Yes.
There was a news story that came out on Counterpunch earlier this year in which the investigative reporter who wrote this, he spoke with officials at virtually every mainstream news organization concerning what took place after September 11th. And each of these executives told this reporter that they had personally received visits by Abe Foxman, particularly pertaining to the Israeli spy scandal and the fact mm-hmm. that close to 200 Israeli spies were arrested right after September 11th, and Abe mm-hmm. Foxman was more or less trying to put a lid on this so that Americans didn't find out about it. Of mm-hmm. course, Jimmy Carter comes out with his book, and the ADL is screaming about it. We have Walt and Mearsheim coming out with their book. And then recently, you know, with the Catholic Church reinstituting this central prayer at the end of their Mass where they're calling for the conversion of the Jews, Abe Foxman, of course, went ballistic over that. My point is this, is that Abe and his organization seem to have a very itchy trigger finger when it comes to these issues. And the point is this, the people out there with whom I speak on these issues, and they say, oh, you're making a thing about this, there's not much to worry about, not much going to come of it. We need laws like this to protect certain groups of people or else they're going to be persecuted. My point is this, is that indeed, if this thing does become law, you're going to see the fangs and the claws really coming out on groups such as the ADL and these others who really are absolutely dead set against us, have our First Amendment rights to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, whatnot. Do you think that this is an accurate assessment? Are they going to take this law and stretch it out as far as they can to basically scour American society of what little Christianity is left in it?
Well, absolutely. That's the whole purpose of it. I have records of hearings in Congress as early as 1988, in which the ADL is already horning in as a non-government organization, requesting that it be consulted in hate crimes enforcement, statistics gathering, and so on, nationwide. And now we're talking about many, many years ago, they were already planning to become the architects and actually the enforcers of hate crimes legislation here in the United States. And if this law is passed, you see, ADL is not interested in the rights of homosexuals or their delicate feelings and so on. They're not even very interested in violence against homosexuals. What they're interested in is establishing a special protection for a federally protected group, special rights, particularly Jews and Zionists and matters Jewish pertaining to Israel. Because what ADL ultimately wants is to make it a hate crime to criticize Israel or matters Jewish. We're talking about the Talmud, Kabbalah, racism within the Talmud, and so on. And so that is their objective. In fact, the ADL is behind the creation several years ago of the Department of Global Anti-Semitism in the U.S. State Department. The U.S. State Department now, as a result of an act of Congress, has a department dedicated to researching the problem of anti-Semitism worldwide. They have about 14 criteria of what anti-Semitism is, and they're pretty hair-raising. The ADL says that strong criticism of Israel or of Israeli leaders is anti-Semitic. They say in the U.S. State Department that if you use the word Hitler or Nazi concerning the behavior of Jewish leaders in Israel, such as Ariel Sharon, you're anti-Semitic. But probably the most frightening for me is their depiction of those who say that the Jews had Jesus killed 2,000 years ago. They are also anti-Semitic, according to the U.S. State Department's Department of Global Anti-Semitism. So what the ADL wants to do is to begin to create a stereotype of Christians especially as haters, as anti-Semites, of being responsible, in fact, for the Holocaust. The ADL is very, very specific, very open in its belief that Christianity, New Testament Christianity, starting 2,000 years ago, is the seed, the formative form of anti-Semitism, which morphed throughout the ages, through the works of Martin Luther, finally into Germany, resulting in the Holocaust of World War II. So at all points, it all converges on one great objective, and that is to make it a hate crime to criticize Israel. And already the Knesset in Israel has passed a law giving the government of Israel rights to demand extradition to Israel, just like Jerma Rudolph and Zundel and others have been extradited to serve time in German prisons under ADL's German hate laws. The Knesset in Israel wants the right to demand that anybody who questions the sacred 6 million figures of the Holocaust or the methods via gas chambers that kill these Jews be deported to Israel to stand trial there for crimes against the Jewish people. So we're looking at a creation of a worldwide hate crimes bureaucracy in America, Canada, but also very largely in Europe. Right now, ADL has a 56-member nation hate crimes bureaucracy set up in Europe called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. It has powers over the Internet in Europe. It wants to ban free speech on the Internet worldwide. But the goal of all of these is to lead to world jurisdiction over hate crimes enforcement everywhere on the planet, jurisdiction which proceeds from Jerusalem.
I see. Now, let me ask you this, Ted, and I'm sorry to be firing these at you so quickly, but I'm particularly interested to find out how this has affected the relationship between the Christian evangelical Christian Zionist types, such as the John Hagees and these other people, because you know they have been very careful over the last few years not to do anything to upset their better Jewish brethren, and so how have they reacted to this? I mean, obviously, to see that there's this huge conflict of interest here. You know, these Christian Zionist preachers have made such an industry out of redefining Jesus' message that it works in conformity with this thing taking place in the Middle East today.
Yeah.
And the ADL has been at the forefront of making sure that the Christian religion has been basically sucked dry of any of its life-giving properties in regards to this. Certainly, the Christian Zionist evangelical leaders, they have to have, been somewhat alarmed or worried about this crimes legislation being passed. What generally has been their reaction on the part of this?
Well, if you're talking about Hagee doesn't have any time at all to fight the hate crimes bill or promote it through his vast television ministry, because he's so busy raising money, contributions for Israel. He sent at least $10 million over there for various Jewish causes, as evangelicals have emptied their purses to help fund the Israeli experiment. But one of the fortunate events that happened about 3 years ago, as far as I'm concerned, was that 11 Christians were arrested by Lynn Abraham, who is the district attorney of Philadelphia. She's also a top honcho in the ADL, a national executive board member. And she had 11 Christians arrested for the hate crime of preaching and witnessing to homosexuals in a huge gay pride rally in 2004. And I was able to take advantage of that and get on talk radio. That was more than 300 broadcasts ago. I came on informing not only the nation but the world about this outrage. And I was able, through popularizing concern and education about hate crimes, to hate crimes legislation to get the ear of the new right. And they still cannot respond to me on the Zionist issue because of the huge deception and propaganda base of their constituents. Millions and millions of Christians are so deeply brainwashed about Israel that they don't dare criticize Israel. But they do criticize hate laws, and this new awakening against hate crimes legislation is very largely a result of my activism coming out of the abuses of this indiscretion by the ADL back in 2004. And as a result of that, I have had a very major influence in promoting awareness about hate crimes legislation. And this, as I think I mentioned earlier in this program, this movement mushroomed through the first 6 months or so of this year. But unfortunately, in the last month or so, the evangelicals got so lazy, basically, in letting George Bush fulfill his promise to defeat the hate bill that the movement very largely dissipated, with very few calls coming into the Senate in the final days before hate bill passage. The new right has a lot of waking up to do, and I'm kind of a gadfly there, reminding them of truth and reality, especially of the biblical reality. Biblical reality is that Jesus and the great Hebrew prophets, they all criticized Jewish evil leadership and the Jews and their transgressions, and there was never any hint that it was anti-Semitic then to do so. And I remind these leaders that I have to criticize Israeli brutality and misbehavior in Israel and the West Bank for the same reason. This is a humanitarian, a Christian thing to do. It's not motivated by anti-Semitism at all.
Well, you know, I can't help but laugh when I hear that term, anti-Semitism, Ted, because, you know, every day I spend a good portion of my day scouring the news sites concerning what's going on in the Middle East, and I see story after story and photo after photo of what, to me, is the greatest anti-Semitic campaign that has ever taken place in history, meaning the wars in Palestine, Lebanon, Iraq, and other places. I mean, this is what I find so sickeningly laughable, is how you have groups such as the ADL screaming about anti-Semitism, and yet as of this date right now, when we account for the last 17 years since the first Gulf War began, we have over 2 million Iraqis who have been killed. The number of Palestinians who have been killed just since the Intifada, numbers in the thousands. So as far as I'm concerned, if anti-Semitism exists today, it certainly, there's no better example of this than the deliberate attempt at exterminating these people, their culture, their religion, whatever you want to call it. So I agree with you as far as our duty as Christians. The one theme that runs through both the Old and the New Testament is that you had people coming out and criticizing the actions of the leadership, and of course the way that the leadership dealt with it, it has always remained the same. You know, when I started getting into this a few years ago, and I started going back and reading my gospel, you know, the first indication to me that we were basically seeing a repeat today of what has taken place over the course of thousands of years was when John the Baptist was out in the desert preaching to people. And what happened? The Pharisees sent their spies out, yes, to find out what John was up to. Mm-hmm. And so this is the same thing over and over again. You have an elite group of leaders who absolutely cannot stand the light of day. They hate to be criticized. They know that, you know, given their criminal mindset and their criminal agenda, they can only exist in the shadows, and this is why they never challenged Jesus or any of the other apostles or the prophets to a debate. They were always trying through the use of trickery or ultimately, in the end, the ultimate form of silence, which was to have their opponents killed. But they cannot stand up in a fair debate with a free exchange of ideas. They always have to resort to these mafia type tactics.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very healthy. We're having a very widespread reception of a Mearsheimer and Waltz book. We're having a wide reception of Jimmy Carter's book. Both of those very critical of the Israel lobby and Israeli misbehavior in the Middle East, even control of the intellectual elites here in America. And this is driving Foxman nuts. He's behaving in a more belligerent and, I believe, an irresponsible way than I have ever seen him behave before. An example of this is just last week, the New Right pundit Ann Coulter, columnist Ann Coulter, was in an interview, and she will continue this in just a second.
Hold that thought, Ted. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, for the last part of what is no doubt a fascinating conversation with Ted Pike. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Gentlemen, this is Mark Glenn filling in for Michael Collins Piper, who, like I said, he better be back in Washington, D.C. right now, because I've got a lot of work to do here on this ranch in North Idaho, and all he has to do is pet his cat and do his radio show every night. I've got 8 kids to take care of. I'm just kidding. I'm honored that Mike would think me competent enough to take over his program for him while he's gone. Now, Ted, let me ask you this. What kind of I'm always interested to compare stories and compare notes with other people who do what I do and what you do. What kind of, what kind of fan mail and what kind of hate mail have you got as a result of your efforts in trying to warn people about this hate crimes legislation?
Well, actually, the perspective I come from is very much a biblical perspective. I use as my pattern not only the Old Testament prophets, but I use Jesus Christ. And they had no reservations about speaking out in criticism of anyone, great or small, Jew or Gentile, whatever, who was involved in sinful behavior. Christ, of course, went after the Pharisees with his incendiary attacks on them, which are unrivaled in history. And so I feel no reservation also about going after ADL and holding them up. I pretty much dealt with them programs very similar to this in the last more than 300 broadcasts in the last several years. And since there is no real anti-Semitism or hatred of the Jewish people per se, there's no racism in my heart. The ADL has had a very hard time in really getting anything on me. And not only that, but the evangelical leaders, they pretty much give me the silent treatment, but they certainly don't criticize me. It is true that a couple of weeks ago, the ADL did break out after about 19 years of silence. They finally broke out with an 11-page attack on me, a smear on me, at ADL.org. And, of course, I fired back a rebuttal and pointed out their lies and misrepresentations. And I got a lot of applause about that from people that was shown, or I should say posted on many websites. And I still am feeling the positive repercussions from that setting of the record straight. But by and large, my message is not extreme. It's balanced. It's biblical. And, you know, the Bible says that when a man is truly just, even his enemies are at peace with him. And by and large, that's been the case. The ADL has certainly been a lot more afraid of me than I am of them.
Good. Well, that's good. I as I've told you a couple of times now in some of the conversations that we've had, Ted, the stone you threw out into that pond has created quite a few ripples. I certainly would not be doing what I do were it not for the fact that I came across your work many, many years ago. It has had a profound effect on me, on how I see the world, how I manage my family and manage my marriage. I don't want to dump too much praise on you and embarrass you like that, but the fact of the matter is that you have done great work, and you can take a certain amount of pride in what you've done. Now, very quickly before the show's over, given the fact that it is on its way to the president sometime soon, what practical things can the rest of us do to try to, keep this thing from becoming law? I realize that the trickery that was used in attaching it to the military appropriations bill, they did this deliberately to back Bush into a corner so that basically he wouldn't have any choice other than to sign it. But what can the rest do in order to at least cause some kind of trouble for the other side and maybe even possibly prevent this thing from becoming law?
Well, about the only thing we can do right now is to forcefully remind President Bush that we expect him to honor his promise to veto the hate bill. Call the president. I'll just give you the toll-free numbers. 202-456-1.
With